is taken under advisement. We move to the seventh case this morning, United States versus Adams.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sarah Varner, and I represent Mr. Charles Adams. Mr. Adams was charged with a failure to register as a sex offender, and when faced with a guideline range of 46 to 57 months, the district court chose a sentence, the highest sentence possible of 120 months, and that was for Mr. Adams' failure to register over the course of 2 months that he was out of compliance. The driving force behind this sentence was Mr. Adams' criminal history, including pending charges, charges that were pending at that time in Wisconsin. That the judge made an adequate record to justify an above-guideline sentence is not in contention in this case. The question before this court today is whether the judge's comments on the record provide an adequate justification for the magnitude of that increase to his sentence, and whether that resulting sentence exceeds the bounds of reason, and we firmly believe that it does. This court has cautioned that when a judge imposes a significant variance from the guidelines, that compelling justifications are necessary. Not only justification for the fact that the sentence will fall above the guideline range, but also justification and a rational basis for the extent of the deviation.
Well, each time Mr. Adams is released from a sexually violent act, within a very short period of time, he commits yet another sexually violent act, which was demonstrated here.
That is true, Your Honor. However,
now,
the guideline...
The state from which he departed to go to Wisconsin, Indiana, doesn't have a commitment proceeding for sexually violent predators, does it?
I don't know the answer to that question, Your Honor.
So, all right. But regardless, he left Indiana.
He did.
And failed to register in Wisconsin, and shortly thereafter commits this horrific sexually violent act. So he has this demonstrated history that Judge Griesbach talks about. That is just remarkable.
He does, Your Honor. And that is why it is our position that the record that the district court made was entirely sufficient to justify an above-guideline sentence. But this court has cautioned that when you do go above guidelines, you need to justify the extent of that deviation. Now, what we have the district court doing here is he does mention, the full thrust of his comments to the criminal history. He mentions that, you've been 3 years between the ages of 19 and 45 without being under supervision or in prison. You've got a violent history of sexual assault. The nature and circumstances of the SORNA violation are aggravated by this pending Wisconsin charge. But at the end of that colloquy, there's no justification for this sort of arbitrary leap right to the stat max of 120. Now, what this court advised in the Kirkpatrick case was that even though post-Booker, it's not necessary for a court to explain why exactly the sentence is deviating from the guidelines, it's wise for that judge to look at the incremental punishments available under the guideline. And it's our position that had the judge engaged in that sort of inquiry at all, the sentence may have been much lower. As we pointed out in the brief, 4A1.3, which is available for district courts to use when criminal history is underrepresented, would have been the perfect guideline for the judge to look at to sort of make this leap. Now, 4A1.3 advises that judges should look for the next criminal history category that would be applicable to defendants whose criminal history or likelihood to recidivate most closely resembles that of the defendant, which seems to be Judge Griesbach's main concern here. Now, even if the judge had departed from 4 to 6, we're still looking at 63 to 78 months. So we have to increase another 5 down in category 6 to get into the category where Mr. Adams ended up. And so we just think that, you know, even though abuse of discretion applies in this case, that the judge simply can't be guided by his sort of inclination that this guy continues to get out and reoffend. We think he's a really bad person. Granted, the history, Mr. Adams' sexual history is horrible.
It seems a certainty that there'll be yet another victim as soon as he's released.
I don't know if we could go that far, Your Honor.
I don't see how you can predict anything else from this life history, unless he is under lock and key. Even while on supervision, he's committing these horrific crimes,
and
time and time again.
That may have been Judge Griesbach's reasoning, but at that point he should have said, you know, a statement such as, you know, I find that your criminal history is underrepresented, and I think you're at least a Category 6.
It isn't self-explanatory. I mean, as Judge Tender pointed out, you just read, he commits these violent sex offenses, gets sentenced, gets out, does the same thing again over and over, even with his wife.
Correct, Your Honor. Not a great marriage.
Judge Griesbach, not inexperienced, says if 10 years is ever appropriate, it seems to me it is in this case. I look at the history here, I look at this defendant, and so on. It seems to me he's really particularized his assessment that this is a maximum sentence case. There are, when you have a potential for a maximum sentence of 120 months, there are cases that fit that level.
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
He says this is that case.
Wholeheartedly, I would agree with the assessment that there are those cases. But our problem in this case is not that he went above guidelines. The problem is that he went through the criminal history, which we believe was firmly accounted for by the guideline calculation. Mr. Adams was in a Tier 3, which is in a 4-level increase to his sentence. He also received a 6-level increase for that Wisconsin case. So, and he also received points in his criminal history for those prior acts. Now, the problem is there was, you know, he looked at this whole criminal history, and then there was this arbitrary leap, right, to 120. And what Mr. Adams is looking for is some sort of rational basis, some sort of logic for how did you get to 120. 120, maybe 120 was appropriate, but there was no logic laid out on the record by the district court. It was, his criminal history is bad. Some cases deserve 120. This is that case. And we simply, in a case where he received the stat max under a guideline range of 46 to 57 months, it's our duty to ask this court, does that exceed the bounds of reason without more
but
on the record?
Can we as a court look and say, as Judge Tinder did and I just did, what else is there? I mean, just on the record, does Judge Griesbach actually have to articulate that when it's right before him? And he does say, if anything warrants, or whatever the language was.
Well, I think that's where our argument regarding Marshall.
I don't know about Judge Tinder, but at least two of us on this court sentenced defendants before sentencing guidelines, which we didn't have to worry about.
Yes, Your Honor. it's sort of the Wild West now, post Booker. But I think that is where our argument regarding marginal deterrence comes in, that without more on the record, that this court shouldn't just look at the record and say, what else could there have been? We affirm. I think at this point we should say, we need to vacate and remand for resentencing for some justification from the judge for how we got to 120 because of the concerns about marginal deterrence. And I'd like to point out that in our brief we pointed, you know, we discussed that the harshest punishments should be available for the worst offenders, and that we did, similar to this court's analysis in the Kirkpatrick case, some sort of what could he have done and fallen in the same sentence. Now, the government pointed out in their brief, no, that's actually not the case. This could have been much worse for Mr. Adams. However, the problem with that analysis is conflating that pending Wisconsin state court charge and the actual crime that we're talking about here, which is failure to register. The government was looking at this sort of like failure to register plus, like he commits failure to register plus these other things. What we should be considering instead is if in the criminal mind, when there's some sort of decision about which crime they're going to commit, that they choose the lesser one, that you know, that was the range, that he could have chosen failure to register, or he could have gotten the same sentence for choosing instead sexual abuse or child pornography. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Coyne.
May it please the court, Ms. Varner, it's a pleasure to be here again before you. I wish I could say it's a pleasure to talk about Mr. Adams' criminal history, but
Judge Barr just said he hadn't noticed you disappeared.
I thought you'd been here all along.
Some failures to register are more serious, more grievous than others, because the defendant who fails to register poses a greater threat to society. So, yes, this is almost, in some sense, a paperwork crime. He didn't fill out the right paperwork.
Do you know if Indiana has a sexually violent predator commitment?
Your Honor, I do not. I believe Wisconsin does, but since I practice in federal court, I just don't know. I could find out and let the court know.
That's all right.
There are two undisputed facts about Mr. Adams. One is that he has an absolutely horrific criminal history. The other is that he brutally raped a prostitute while he was in a failure to register status. And both of these are captured to some extent in the guidelines. There's a criminal history score. There's also the enhancement for committing a sexual assault while in failure to register status. The enhancement, I would observe, doesn't make any distinctions between different kinds of sexual assaults committed against non-minors. So, a less aggravated sexual assault would get the same number of points as this one, which was, not to belabor the point, just gruesome. It's recounted in paragraph 41 of the PSR, so I won't march through it again here.
Your office argued for a lower sentence, though, than the maximum.
Correct? That's true.
So how can you defend this maximum sentence?
Well, I'm not certain all of the considerations that went into that recommendation, because I did not handle the case below. What we're really defending, though, Judge, is the sentencing judge's discretion here, and whether he adequately justified.
He saved you from yourself.
I'm sorry?
He saved the government from themselves.
Perhaps so.
I guess, as I was thinking about this, the question is, do we send it back for what we know is going to be the response? I mean, we're not going to change it. I don't think Judge
Respond
is going to change, say, oh, yeah, right, this wasn't as serious as I thought. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to happen? I mean, I don't...
I doubt it very much, Your Honor, and I would respectfully disagree with Ms. Varner when she says there's this unexplained leap to the statutory maximum. It's actually very well explained by Judge Griesbach, in particular with regard to criminal history on the top of page 57 of the sentencing transcript, where he talks about Mr. Adams being a 45-year-old man who, since the age of 19... has been either in prison or under supervision for less than 3 years. Oh, all but less than 3 years. And during those 3 years, he racks up all of this criminal history. So it seems to me that it's very far from the case that this sentence is lacking a rational basis. It seems to me it's a very rational decision to sentence this particular defendant at the top of the statutory range. It was adequately explained by the sentencing judge.
The only thing that's inexplicable to me is that he was married.
I wouldn't even want to speculate, Your Honor. I do know one of the conditions of supervised release is that if Mr. Adams in the future is ever in a relationship with someone, he has to advise that person of his criminal history, which would seem to me to be a very sound condition.
And that's one of the problems.
And they'll probably marry him anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems with the failure to register here. I understand you describe her as a prostitute, works in an escort service. She has no opportunity to screen her clients by checking the SORNA registration. does serve that purpose, or even if someone were intending to date an individual, they have to have the ability to check those registries to see, is this guy?
Yes. And I'm not certain that the brevity of his time in Wisconsin is mitigating at all. The people in my state, whether they're escorts or potential mates for Mr. Adams, have a right to know about his history. That's what Congress has decided. They've also decided that judges can sentence up to 10 years for this crime. So we would ask that you affirm. Thank you.
How much time? We'll give you a couple of minutes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Adams needs a couple of minutes here. I want to respond briefly to your question about what will happen when we send it back. I don't think we can speculate as to what will happen when we send it back. I do think there was a good record, again, for an above-guideline sentence, but I think that I disagree with the government's contention that this was a well-explained leap to the statutory max. While we are talking about a man who the facts of his particular offenses are very bad, they give us all bad feelings. We all want to make
And Judge Griesbach detailed those.
Yes, he did.
So many of them involved a binding
and
forcible setback.
But what I do want to point out is we're not talking about somebody who was a criminal history Category 6. He had a number of priors where the facts make us feel bad, but he was only a criminal history Category 4. There was still up to a criminal history Category 6. He wasn't there. He's not the worst of the worst. And there was a perfectly good analogy available for the district court to use, which was 4A1.3. If he felt like you're not getting enough points for this criminal history, he could have gone through the exercise on the sentencing chart and said, I find that you're going to recidivate like someone who would be in a Category 6. That's 63 to 78. We are still not even approaching 120 months. We still have to go another 5 down the sentencing table. So I think that if this court would send it back and ask for a careful explanation, it's possible that if forced through this exercise, he may come out at a lower sentence. And I would just like to say, in regards to our standard here, it is abuse of discretion, but if that's only if the sentence is carefully explained. And I think if there's something that appears to this court to be a sentence that was chosen arbitrarily.
But that's sort of marginal. There's nothing marginal about these offenses.
No, sir.
They're not a question of did it happen or maybe it didn't happen or. I mean,
there's no question that these offenses happened, but like I'm saying, like he's not a criminal history Category 6, and even had the judge
said. But that's why we don't have. That's why they're not bound by the following it. They're
yes, Your Honor. We're simply asking for an explanation of what happened between 57 and 120, and that when there appears to be this gut reaction, arbitrary leap to 120, because yes, the facts of these cases are troubling. That when there's that arbitrary leap, that should be problematic to this court, and we would respectfully ask that this court vacate and remand for reconsideration of these facts and resentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barnum. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.